If you're running an enterprise security team right now, you are probably fighting a losing battle against time.
Yeah, it feels like that sometimes.
The speed at which new vulnerabilities appear, it just vastly outstrips the speed at which we can hire, highly specialized human penetration testers.
And they're expensive.
Exactly. And let's face it, relying on that traditional manual point-in-time testing, it's slow, it's deeply labor-intensive, and yeah, wildly expensive.
It just creates a security gap, doesn't it? When you have analysts spending weeks, maybe longer, manually checking for known weaknesses, they're simply not getting continuous coverage.
Right.
And the modern enterprise, I mean, with its sprawling cloud infrastructure, it needs assessments that can scale instantly and ideally run constantly.
Okay, let's unpack this because today we are diving deep into this fundamental shift happening in the industry. It's the rise of AI-powered enterprise security testing. Our focus is a specific platform designed to try and close that time gap. It's called HackGPT Enterprise, created by developer Yashab Alam.
So our mission today is to understand exactly how this cloud-native tool uses the analytical muscle of, say, GPT-4 combined with advanced machine learning
Right.
to provide a comprehensive vulnerability assessment, but much faster than before. We want to know, is this genuinely the shortcut? Can it find weaknesses before the bad guys exploit them?
The AI advantage seems like the biggest story here because it fundamentally changes the job description, really, of the human security
It
analyst.
does.
Traditionally, you hired smart humans to do all that tedious manual probing.
Yeah.
If you're using something like HackGPT, what's the core difference in approach?
It's really an efficiency multiplier.
Yeah.
The core difference is that the AI engine takes over all that repetitive detection work. Now, the endless correlation, scanning, initial probing.
The grind.
Yeah, exactly. The keyboard grind, which frees the human expert up. So the human security professional is now sort of elevated to the role of strategist and interpreter. They focus only on the highest risk findings and the overall security posture.
I can imagine, though, for organizations dealing with highly sensitive data, maybe financial services or healthcare,
Oh, yeah, definitely.
the idea of sending their sensitive system configurations off to some cloud-based AI engine, even GPT-4, that might be a hard stop for them. Is there an answer for organizations that really prioritize data sovereignty?
Absolutely, and that's crucial. The platform was actually designed with that choice in mind. So while it integrates fully with powerful models like GPT-4, it also supports self-hosted local solutions, like those run via Llama, for example. This means sensitive data never has to leave the organization's firewall if they don't want it to.
Do you get the choice?
You choose. Cloud convenience or running the entire assessment on your own infrastructure for, complete control over the data.
Okay, now here's where it gets really interesting, I think. For anyone who's ever worried about a major breach, the zero-day factor. Everyone knows about zero-day vulnerabilities, these security flaws that are undocumented, unknown to the public, maybe even the vendor. How on earth can AI spot something that literally nobody knows exists yet?
Yeah, this is the true aha moment, I think, for machine learning and security. Traditional tools, they rely on signatures, right?
Right, like antivirus definitions.
Exactly. They look for known specific fingerprints of an attack. They look for known malware files. If there's no signature for it, the tool just misses it. Simple as that.
So, if the bad guys just invented a completely new type of lockpicking tool, the traditional defense doesn't even know what to look for. It's invisible.
Precisely. AI, however, doesn't primarily look for the signature. It looks for behavioral anomalies.
Okay, how does that work?
It identifies patterns in massive amounts of system data that indicate something is just wrong, even if the specific flaw has never, ever been seen before.
Like what kind of patterns?
Well, it might spot system calls that are slightly out of sequence, or maybe resource consumption spiking in an unusual way, or network traffic going to places it shouldn't. That ability to spot connections and subtle behavioral drift and do it at scale across huge systems, that's what allows the AI to potentially flag an undocumented flaw before it becomes a crisis.
That makes the shift from just signature matching to pattern matching feel like moving from, I don't know, reading a history book to trying to predict the future.
It's a good analogy. It's about understanding the norm so you can spot the deviation.
Now, we should probably dive into how it actually conducts the test. The sources show this isn't just some simple fast scanner. It follows a very disciplined six-phase methodology. It mirrors what a top human tester would do.
Yeah, and that structure is vital. It ensures the AI doesn't just run wild. You know, it starts with discovery and mapping. That's phases one and two, basically the reconnaissance phase.
Okay.
The system uses standard, pretty powerful tools like the Harvester to gather info from public sources and Shodan to map the network footprint.
So gathering all that external intelligence first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then it moves into scanning. And the key to speed here is parallelization. Instead of running checks one after the other.
Sequentially, yeah.
Right. The system runs concurrent processes using tools like Nmap for network services and Nuclei for web applications. All this data that's collected across AWS, Azure, on-prem, wherever, it's aggregated simultaneously. It builds this complete high-resolution digital footprint for the AI to analyze.
Okay, so once that, let's call it a data lake, is built, we move into verification, phases three and four. I assume you can't just flag something as vulnerable. You have to prove it, right?
Verification is absolutely the crucial step before you start trying to fix things. The platform uses controlled exploitation testing. It employs established frameworks like Metasploit.
Which is well known in the industry.
Very well known. But importantly, it does so safely. It verifies if a weakness is actually exploitable without causing any production damage. That's key.
Definitely.
Following that verification, every single finding is scored immediately using CVSS standards.
CVSS, the Common Vulnerability Scoring System. Now, for the listener, why is that number so important for a security team? What does it actually tell them?
Because it tells you what to drop everything and fix right now. CVSS provides a universal standardized numerical score for how bad a vulnerability truly is. Is it critical? High, medium.
Got it.
It removes the guesswork and allows security teams to prioritize the issues demanding immediate attention over those that maybe can wait for the next patch cycle. It's all about focus.
And that prioritization, that leads us directly to the final phases, reporting and compliance. Because let's be honest, security is kind of useless if the report is written in language the board of directors can't understand.
Right, exactly. Phase five is automatic reporting. The AI generates the executive summaries itself, written in clear business terms. That drastically cuts down the time usually spent translating technical jargon into strategic recommendations.
That sounds like a huge time saver. And phase six, the compliance mapping, that sounds like a massive headache reducer for anyone who deals with auditors.
Oh, it's a huge feature. The system automatically cross-references findings with major compliance frameworks. So think OWASP Top 10, NIST standards, which are essential if you do government contracting, ISO 27000, DORSO 2.
Critical for service orgs handling client data.
Absolutely. And PCI DSS, necessary for processing credit cards. This turns what used to be hours, maybe days of manual cross-referencing into an instant integrated output. It provides the required documentation for auditors almost immediately.
Okay, let's pivot then to the requirements of the enterprise itself. I mean, if this tool is going into Fortune 500 companies handling billions of records, trust is paramount. What kind of security controls are built into HackGPT to satisfy those demanding enterprise auditors?
Yeah, trust is built right into the architecture. It has to be. We're talking about controls that mirror what these large organizations already use and expect.
Such as?
Well, robust role-based access control, RBAC. It integrates with existing identity management systems like LDIP and Active Directory.
Okay, standard stuff.
Right. It ensures, for example, only a designated LEND can approve a test scope, and maybe an analyst can only view the final reports. It defines very precise permissions.
So accountability is locked down tight. They probably also need a comprehensive paper trail, I assume, an audit log.
Absolutely. Yeah. Comprehensive audit logging tracks every single action, who ran what scan, when they ran it, what the results were. Everything is logged. And for the data itself, it's protected using top-tier AES 256 GCM encryption. GWT tokens are used to ensure secure sessions. These aren't just nice-to-have features. They are non-negotiable prerequisites for deployment in highly regulated environments.
Makes sense. Okay, switching gears a bit to performance. The system needs to scale to potentially massive corporate environments and run tests continuously without failing. How is the underlying cloud architecture built to handle that kind of load and maintain speed?
It's built on a modern, resilient foundation. Under the hood, it uses Docker containers orchestrated by Kubernetes.
Ah, KDS.
Exactly. Think of Kubernetes as the traffic cop. It manages the massive workload, allowing the platform to dynamically scale up resources for large assessments without needing manual hardware upgrades or interventions.
So it handles the spikes.
It does.
Hmm.
And it provides high availability, using things like circuit breakers and failover mechanisms to ensure if one small component hiccups, the entire security assessment doesn't just crash.
So the test keeps running, which is obviously key for continuous security monitoring. How do they maximize the speed when they might be scanning, I don't know, millions of endpoints?
That's where distributed processing comes in. They use Celery to spread the workload efficiently across multiple worker nodes. It handles the heavy lifting, ensuring no single component bottlenecks the whole process.
And caching.
Yep. Redis provides multi-layer caching for rapid access to frequently needed data. And the PostgreSQL database uses connection pooling to handle heavy concurrent queries at maximum speed. It's all designed for performance at scale.
That robust architecture allows for some pretty impressive accessibility, too. The sources mention real-time dashboards updating via WebSocket connections.
Right, so the security team always sees the latest status.
Whether they're using the web dashboard, the command line interface, or, interestingly, even a voice command interface that was mentioned.
That's right. The ability to maybe initiate or just check the status of a major assessment via a simple voice command, it shows how accessible they're trying to make these powerful tools. It's kind of moving security management out of just the specialized technical silo and more into the workflow of managers.
So putting all this together then, what does this actually mean for the security operations team on the ground? Can you summarize the, let's say, three immediate practical areas of value this AI-powered approach provides?
Yeah, I think the value really comes down to efficiency, insight, and consistency. First, a massive reduction in manual effort. That's probably the biggest one. Security analysts are freed from that routine scanning, letting them tackle the real complex threats that need human ingenuity.
Okay, efficiency. What's second?
Second is improved accuracy and, frankly, superior insight. Machine learning can spot subtle patterns buried in these colossal data sets that no human analyst, no matter how good they are, could ever hope to process manually.
Finding needles in haystacks. And the third area, that connects directly back to the auditors and the board, doesn't it?
It does. That's the consistent reporting. You get standardized AI-generated reports with that automated compliance mapping we talked about. It ensures that every assessment follows the same high standard, which gives leadership confidence and simplifies the auditing process significantly.
Okay, now let's address the elephant in the room, the question that comes up with almost any AI tool these days. Can something like HackGPT replace human penetration testers entirely?
The sources we looked at are actually very clear on this point. It's an augmentation, not a replacement. Not yet, anyway.
So it helps them, doesn't replace them.
Exactly. AI excels at pattern recognition and doing things at massive scale. But human expertise remains utterly essential. Humans are still required for things like creative attack vectors, understanding the unique business context of an organization.
Which AI might miss.
Right. Making crucial judgment calls about testing boundaries, what's in scope, what's out, what's too risky to test automatically. And, most importantly perhaps, interpreting the high-level strategy needed to actually fix complex systemic vulnerabilities. AI finds, humans strategize the fix.
So the human strategist is still running the show, directing the AI tools, but the roadmap you mentioned suggests the AI is only getting more ambitious.
Indeed. The development timeline seems very aggressive. Version 2.1, which is apparently scheduled for Q3 2025, aims to bring in sophisticated threat hunting capabilities and deeper integrations with SIEM systems.
Okay, so tying into real-time monitoring tools.
Precisely. Making it more proactive.
And then the really long-term goal.
That's version 3.0, which they're targeting for Q1 2026. The aim there is fully autonomous security assessments. That means AI systems running complete penetration tests, discovery, verification, exploitation testing, reporting, without needing continuous human oversight during the process. It clearly marks the ultimate trajectory they see for enterprise security testing.
So we started this deep dive talking about the sheer cost and the lack of scalability associated with traditional manual security testing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that AI platforms like HackGPT Enterprise can provide unprecedented scale and pattern analysis, drastically reducing that manual effort. It seems clear that while the technology handles the immense speed and data volume,
which humans just can't match.
Right. Human strategy and critical decision-making remain the crucial, absolutely irreplaceable factors for maintaining an effective security posture, at least today.
I think the key takeaway here is that security is moving away from these episodic point-in-time checks towards continuous data-driven defense.
Yeah.
The goal is shifting towards identifying and remediating vulnerabilities almost immediately upon deployment, not weeks or months later when an auditor, or worse, an attacker finds them.
And that brings us neatly to our final provocative thought for you, the listener. If the industry really is heading toward this vision of fully autonomous security assessments in the next few years,
which seems likely, given the trends,
where AI systems are running complete penetration tests without direct human oversight discovery, maybe even some forms of exploitation testing and reporting, What does this trajectory mean for organizational accountability?
That's a tricky question.
If the system discovers a critical, exploitable vulnerability, where does the ultimate decision-making authority truly reside? And maybe more importantly, who is accountable if the system fails to make the right judgment call during that automated assessment process?
Yeah, that's something to really think about as these powerful tools become not just available, but standard practice in the years to come. Where does the buck stop when the AI is running the show?